The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round two recap and round three preview for the Zozo Championship. Joining me to break it all down, it's Kyle Porter. What up, KP?
New day, different house that I'm in. I'm at my in-laws now, so my tour of Oklahoma and Texas continues. We're eating food out of trash bags, literally. We're carrying around trash bags of food, so the kids will have stories to tell. We're supposed to move in our house in a week, but until then, I'm on the road. I'm a vagabond. I feel like Jason Day driving an RV around, except I have a SUV, not an RV. So, yeah, it's fun. Let's talk about the Zozo.
We appreciate you finding some time to get in here and talk about what the story of the day at Sherwood is. Unbelievably low scores. The scoring average was like 4.2 shots under par. If you shot what does that make it? 68, you lost to the field. Like it's unbelievable stuff out there. These guys are tearing it apart.
Well, it is. And you know, it was interesting. I was watching the broadcast and they did that thing where they took the green and they kind of showed different arrows pointing toward the hole, like all the different ways that you could feed it down to the hole, which is, I love golf courses like that. I think that's fantastic. The problem is it's not firm at all. And so there's like nine different ways, but there's no ways that you can't feed it toward the hole. Like there's nothing that rejects the ball. And as a result, you get a scoring average where you shoot 68 and you're losing strokes to the field, which is just, I guess it's fun. It's not really my style of fun, but there's a ton of guys that are double digits under par. You got a great leader. So, it should still be a fun weekend.
That great leader is Justin Thomas with back-to-back rounds of 65. He's 14 under par. He's going to be one shot clear of the chase pack. And there's a good little Justin Ray stat here, KP, which is essentially talks about how he plays in these birdie fest type events. So this is the third time that Justin Thomas has opened a PGA Tour event with consecutive 65s or better. He won the first two. The Golf Channel had a stat when it was like, you know, when it's first two rounds are 130 or under, he like wins every time or all but once. I mean, he's built for this type of event.
Yeah, he really is. It does make you wonder about like a US Open or like a tough Masters or an Open or whatever. Like what, you know, does that, I mean, he's just so good that I feel like it has to translate, but look, I texted you guys today, the on pace for 25 wins thing. We're right there. It's JT season. I mean, this is his deal. I did want to call out one shot that he hit because he didn't. Are you okay, Rick?
Yeah, I almost choked because I forgot about the 25 win thing. So refresh everybody this. So you made this bet with Mark Immelman. I choked on my water.
I think that if I win the bet, I think he agreed to buy me like a section of Ernie Els's vineyard.
Right.
I'm sort of making things up as we go. But I said 25 wins in the 20s, in the decade of the 20s.
Right.
He's at two. He should be at three if Colin Morikawa hadn't hit a 25-footer at Muirfield Village to send it to a second and third playoff hole. Anyway. If he wins this week, he'll be on pace for 37 this decade. So we're in good shape. I'd want to call one shot. Did you see him play number one? It would have been his 10th hole of the day.
Remind me.
So he shoots 60 on, he plays the back nine second on Thursday and then the back nine first on Friday. He shoots 60 over those 18 holes.
Yeah.
He goes to one, hits a perfect drive. He's got like, yeah. 60 yards in.
Is this that one where he hits that little bump up there? That little it was a nifty little shot.
Yeah, he called it like a flighted drawing wedge. I was like, wow, we might be making things up. I don't know. But that's what it did. It was flighted and it drew. And it was just, I thought it was such a microcosm of what makes him great, is that 100 yards and in, he not only has great touch, he's also very creative. And I don't know. I love that shot. It led to one of a billion birdies that he's made. And, you know, he's going to be the favorite going into the weekend.
Yeah, when I saw that live, I thought he kind of laid the sod over it. But then whoever was on the call was like, oh, like that's why he walked up to the green. Like he wanted to feel how soft it was, how firm it was, what it was going to do, where he landed it. And I was like, wow, that's he's still evolving, right? JT's still adding shots to his game, which is kind of scary.
And that's just a shot that you look at the other top guys. Does DJ have that shot? Maybe. I don't know. I think Rom probably does. Rory probably doesn't. It looks like a pretty straightforward deal, but it's very creative. And I think that's the part about JT that is really interesting to me. So, you know, he didn't hit it great, especially on the back nine, front nine on the course on Friday. But the putter, I mean, we've talked about it all year. His putter's been bad in 2020. It's been good this week. And as a result, he's your leader.
Yeah, it's a very simple equation for Justin Thomas to find his way to the top of the leaderboard. Don't be terrible putting and you'll be there. The Chase pack. So one shot back, Dylan Fratelli, Lonto Griffin, both of them were bogey free until they got to their 18th hole of the day. They made bogey there. They're going to be one shot back heading into the weekend. And then a couple of bigger names, Patrick Cantlay and Scottie Scheffler, 12 under, two shots back. So it's not like JT's running away with this. We've seen low scores all week. I mean, there are guys here, both that could pick up their first or second PGA Tour victories and more established professionals, guys with a lot of game as well.
Yeah, it is an interesting chase pack. I will say after JT shot 30 on his front nine on Friday, I kind of started thinking about the Vince Carter gif. And then I was like, there's a lot of numbers out there.
30 was like field average at one point.
Yeah, that's a little early for that. Cantlay's intriguing because he hasn't been putting it that well. He's been all right, I guess. Scheffler has been bad with the putter.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to come back to this guy later, but Bubba is super intriguing to me. And I don't know if it's just because it's around the Masters time. Maybe it's because he's been pretty good, quietly kind of good over the last 2 months or so. But he played really, really well on Friday. And I don't know. I mean, there's so much firepower. Finau, Reed, Kisner's been playing well. It's not, I mean, JT's going to have to go, 65, 66 to win it or something like that, 66, 66.
Yeah, you're going to have to earn it. Bubba's 22-1, if that number interests you. I think, I mean, even a little further back, I mean, we saw guys shoot, I mean, there was a 61 out there on Friday. There was three 63s. I mean, there's some low scores available. I think Joaquin Niemann is certainly someone who, you know, is currently outside the top 25. I think that probably changes on the weekend. He's losing three strokes putting over the course of the first two rounds, but he's fourth in strokes gained tee to green. That's someone who, combine it with his ability to get hot, I could see him making a run on the weekend as well.
John Rahm, 64 on Saturday. I could see that happening. There's a ton of guys up there. It's gonna be an intriguing weekend because you've got a lot of huge names. You've got a massive name front runner, and JT is a good front runner. I mean, I don't have the numbers in front of me in terms of, you mentioned them earlier, and it's sort of a closing number, but you know, he's a good front runner. Like, that's sort of what the best guys do. Him, Rory, they get out in front, and it's like they just kind of swat you away when you make a run at the lead. So that'll be intriguing to kind of follow.
Tiger Woods bounced back off his opening round 76 with a second round 66. Now this looks like a lot a completely different version of Tiger Woods, which I think at this point in his career, you get much bigger swings from day to day with Tiger. He can look, I mean, we talked about yesterday. I mean, he had a couple of approach shots that were bad. I mean, they're really bad, really, really loose. He was much better on Friday. He made 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 birdies on Friday. Now that's some good stuff from the big cat.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, it's weird. I mentioned this on Thursday. The swing on Thursday I thought looked really good. And it looked very similar on Friday. It's just that the results were, I mean, he just gave himself a ton of opportunity. He gave himself no looks at all on Thursday. And then Friday, he gave himself a ton of looks. I don't even know that he putted it that well. I didn't see his round two strokes gain on.
No, he lost 1.2 strokes putting on Friday.
He had a really bad, I think it was a three putt on like three or four early. And it was like, it's just not a three putt that you see. You know, he's such a good lag putter, and he hit it like 6 feet past, missed the comeback. You're like, wow, that's pretty bad. But I thought that it made you think, was Thursday kind of a one-off in terms of the iron putt? We'll have to see how it plays out. But to me, I think that as of right now, I'm going to say that Thursday was like this one-off thing with his irons. And I think there's still reason for, I don't know about optimism, but just, I don't think he's going to go to Augusta and shoot like 78, 78.
Yeah, I think that's fair because realistically, he's been great with his irons. That Thursday round was probably the outlier. To me, the continued issue just is the putter. Now two rounds in a row this week, he's lost strokes putting. It's been the story of this entire calendar year is he's not been able to roll the rock. I think it's very simple. He's staying quite on brand, at least this year, I think.
Did you see him flub that chip on like 16 or
yeah, 14. and then he switched to putter and knocked it in, right?
Yeah, it was, but the chip was like, yeah, it was pretty straightforward. He might have had a bad lie or something like that, but it was just not. It was pretty bad. That's kind of been my point with him is like, it's just not sharp. Like right. The short game, you three putt on three, you flub that chip on whatever hole that was. I think 16. And that it's just not stuff that Tiger does. It's not stuff that anybody that's playing at like a top 10 level should do, especially going into a major championship. So that's where you look at it and you're like, I don't know. Like that's not good. But the iron probably looked way better. So who knows?
So Tiger Woods, until Friday, held the course record at Sherwood. If you had Richie Wierenski in your pool of who was going to break Tiger's course record, you just cashed it a big way. This would have been about the last guy in the world I would have picked. A 61 from Richie Wierenski, 11 under par to snap off Tiger's course record. That is got to be something I'd tell my kids, my grandkids. That would be like that. That's some good stuff right there.
You shoot 61 and you don't even gain 7 strokes on the field. That's tough. He definitely had a the putting round of the day. Gained 3.5 strokes. He hit it well. He lost strokes off the tee and shot 61.
He had a bogey on the card. It was a weird day. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say there's a reason that you see guys like him and Brian Harman playing well. It's a short course, right? Yeah. So you've got all these par fives that you can kind of rack up numbers on, but the course is under 7,000 yards. So you look at like the week and Brian Harman's leading in strokes gained approach and you're like, or whatever, tee to green. And you're like, well, that's weird. Well, it's a 6,800 yard course. So that's kind of your explanation.
Here's another, we talked about a Sebastian Munoz psycho scorecard on Thursday. Phil Mickelson had a stretch from 11 to 16 where he went bogey, birdie, quad. That's my favorite on a par five. Birdie, birdie, birdie. How about that?
I actually saw his putt for triple bogey, and it was on PGA Tour Live, and so it like I don't think their graphics are the same, and it just said T bogey, and I was like, what's a T bogey?
What's a T bogey?
I hadn't seen it on that before.
Yeah, they just have to quickly like put it. Someone was like, just type in T bogey. Yeah. I don't know. We don't have one made for that in the control room.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, listen, it's going to be a great weekend. I think you said it well. We've got a top end stud leader. We've got some guys with great stories trying to chase him down. We've got scoring that is going to be bonkers probably all weekend. So I think we're going to see fireworks the rest of the way.
Yeah, I do too. Who's the guy out of the top, I guess the guys at 11 or better, that if they won, it would excite you the most for what they could do at the Masters?
Me personally, or like would excite like the golf community?
You personally.
Scheffler or Answer, probably.
I think mine would be Finau.
That would be cool.
Because I don't know that. I mean, I don't know if you can break the Puerto Rico curse at Augusta National. Oh,
the world would just, it would collapse in on itself, I think.
It would be the end of 20, it would be, yeah, it would be the perfect ending of 2020. I think you can break it at Sherwood. I don't know if you can break it at Augusta National. Did you, go ahead.
Is Answer still the guy who is like the highest ranked player without a win anywhere? That was a thing, right?
He's never won. Really?
He's never won. Well, I don't think it's like, I think he's the highest ranked golfer with a no PGA Tour or European Tour victory. I'm pretty sure it's the designation.
What's he ranked?
He was like 30 something. I think he's better than that now. He is currently 21st.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, Wolf is 12th with one win.
Right.
Which is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
You could get to number, how about if you got to number one in the world and never won?
You'd be piling up second. We would be calling you. We'd think you're a failure because you'd have so many runner up finishes.
It would be like the opposite of Phil, where he won 44 times and never got to number one. Did you see Bryce? Can we talk for like 30 seconds about Bryson's Instagram?
Yeah. Do you want to set this up? What did Bryson post on Instagram? Oh, hold on. Okay. Start over. We lost you. Go ahead. What did Bryson post on Instagram?
211 ball speed, 403 carry. Now, many caveats.
Yes. Many caveats.
The caveats are it was 41 yards drawing left, hooking, 20 miles an hour downwind.
Yeah.
And what was it, 600 feet of elevation?
Yeah, 656. So here's my issue with this. So I don't take issue with this at all. I'm all for him posting his numbers on Instagram or wherever else he wants and just posting it like, hey, here's what I just did. That's awesome. 403 yards carry. It's unbelievable. But you can't call that the first time you broke 400 yards when you've got 20 mile an hour dead downwind. You're not at sea level. Like, I don't know. That would be me. Like me saying my personal best is I shot a 72, but like, I didn't really mention that the par on that course was like 661 or something like that. You know what I mean? It doesn't really count.
It was a 3,300 yard course.
Yeah. Like I get it. Yes. That is true. That is true. You carried it 400, which is amazing. And even if he posted that without those factors, he carried it 395. I'd be like, oh my God, that's insane. But yeah. You can't call it your first.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm so fascinated by what this means, like just what's going to happen at the Masters. And you hear people, I mean, the broadcast was talking about it. I went back and watched the Spieth clip from the podcast that he was on with Colt Knows, just talking about how it's Bryson's tournament to lose. And I feel like everything is just kind of contextualized within this Bryson atmosphere right now. I think he's, you know, Rory's kind of been talking to, like, everybody's like, it's just the thing that everybody's on. And yeah. Tiger was asked about it this week. I'm just so intrigued by what it means for the rest of golf. It's kind of Bryson's world right now.
We're going to get into a lot of Masters content coming up. We're going to get a lot into Bryson content coming up, but I do think it is interesting. We'll put a bow on it like this. You know, for 20 years, we lived in a world where every other player's presser, they would ask about Tiger, right? Like, oh, you play with Tiger today. What did you see Tiger do? Now Tiger's getting questions about Bryson. Like, it's weird. It's not undeserved. It's just different.
It's people haven't realized it yet, Rick, but it signifies a new, like, there's some inflection point going on right now. Might not be as big as I think it is, but it's still something, and maybe we won't realize it for several more years.
There you go. That right there is Kyle Porter. You can follow him on Twitter at Kyle Porter CBS. You can follow me on Twitter at Rick Run Good. We'll be back at it again after round three of the Zozo, breaking it all down this weekend. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.